You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Yeah, we made it. It is Friday, and the weekend is around the corner, and what a week it has been. No reason to recap it all for you. I think it's pretty self-explanatory since Wednesday night what the biggest story in the platform of college football, if not really the whole sports world. I realize so much else is going on, but I was doing an interview today with Matt Barry on SportsCenter. He was in Tulsa at Southern Hills during the PGA, and he said even out here, he said, the Saban-Jimbo controversy had taken center stage, and that's while Tiger was trying to make the cut. So a lot to do today. We will talk to a number of people, a gentleman who has talked to one party in all this. That is Coach Prime at Jackson State, Chris Lowe, who was in Tuscaloosa yesterday interviewing Saban. He'll give us his take. Pat Forty from SI, he's written about it and certainly has had a lot of comments. Terrence Moore, a little bit later on, national columnist for Forbes, used to be with the Atlanta Journal. We'll talk to Owen Buchanan from TexAg as we continue to sample the react from College Station. And we'll talk a little bit more about NIL in general as the program moves on. You can call us at 855-242-7285. I realize it has been tough to get in. We will try to grab as many as we can. We have 4 hours, so we should be able to have plenty of you there. So that's where we are. We will get to your phone calls. We'll get some reaction as quickly as we can here on what should be a very, very busy afternoon. A reminder, I realize next week is kind of scatter shooting with baseball and all kinds of other things, but we will be in Destin the day after Memorial Day, and that is when the next iteration of this will take place, when all the SEC coaches will be together. Let's grab some calls here. We start with Philip, who hits us from Memphis. Hey, Philip. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you.
I didn't call yesterday because I frankly was so mad. I was afraid I'd say something that I'd regret later. But I've cooled down a little bit.
Good.
And I'm sure you saw Joseph Goodman's article on AL.com. I caught it in the Birmingham News. I'm still a newspaper guy. Probably.
Yeah, I read it very quickly. It seemed like I'd read it before, but anyway, you obviously did not like it. It was critical of Saban.
I didn't. It was the headline. You're a newspaper guy. Does the guy that writes the article write the headline?
No, or is that not usually. I had the answer for that my entire career. Why'd you say that? And I didn't, but most of the time, the writer does not write the headline.
That was my impression. The headline says, Crimson Tide coach sounded scared of the future in his NIL rant. Now, Saban undoubtedly is scared of the future, but not for the reason that Mr. Goodman pronounced at the end of his own rant. I think Goodman thinks that Saban is scared of his ability to recruit. I disagree with that. I think Saban is afraid of the future of college football. If A&M and Jimbo have their way, Division I or FBS football will become little more than AAA baseball. Every team will have to have an NIL group outside of school athletic department. And eventually what A&M has started will become that's what everybody's going to have to do. And that's disgusting. College football is going to be led down a new path by a team and a university, i.e. A&M, which has rarely, if ever, peed a drop in football, Paul, other than two coaches with, and this is going to sound like I'm bragging, though I had nothing to do with it, two coaches with Alabama connections, Bryant and Stallings. Other than that, A&M really hadn't been a championship team. But now that they've had success with their $50,000 per recruit, everyone's going to have to follow suit, and that's going to be virtually impossible for teams that do not have access to the oil money that the two teams from Texas and Oklahoma will have in the SEC. Now, one thing I can foresee, and you're going to laugh at this, but I've talked it over with a couple of guys who played football in college at Alabama, and they think it's likely. And I foresee a two teams at every school. One is a team modeled on the A&M style with a payroll, a payroll which expands every year, by the way. I mean, it's not going to stop at $50,000. With all that oil money, players are eventually going to laugh at $50,000 offer. They're going to want more. But secondly, I think there's going to be a club team. No scholarships, no payoffs. In short, a group that plays ball because they love the game, but more importantly, because they love the school they decided to attend. And my opinion is, and it's shared by the two guys I spoke with, that eventually the club teams will enjoy more fan support and have greater attendance than the paid team, the Gladiators. I don't think that college football fans who love the sport are going to be able to stomach paying Gladiators to go out and wear their school colors. I wanted to play football at Alabama in the 60s, but I wasn't good enough. Wasn't even good enough to play in high school. I went out for the team in the eighth grade, where I set the Alabama State High School record, which has never been broken, by the way, for the longest center snap over a punter's head. And
I think I've seen video.
It's not pleasant. Thought I'd bought up all those videos. Talk to me later. I'll buy yours, okay? Whatever you want for it.
Well, Philip, listen, I don't know whether your thoughts will come to fruition or not, but for now, I think most people close to Saban believe he was trying to get some attention the other day by making that statement. And when I mean attention, I don't mean attention from the media. I mean attention from people that actually matter. And there are very few people who matter.
Well, people who are going to have to be responsible for legislating some rules, I think that's who he was trying to talk
exactly.
to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're talking administrators, commissioners, and NCAA officials. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to Chris Lowe, who spent yesterday in Tuscaloosa. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And I think it should be an interesting day on the phones. Red Dog is next.
You know, Jimbo is a joke. You know, that last caller said that Jimbo's had success. Well, you know, before we won the national championship, we had more preseason recruiting national championships than any team in college football. You know, so Saban said exactly what he said the truth. He said what I heard a pretty famous coach in Athens also said on National Signing Day, but it wasn't blown up. Jimbo does less with more talent than anybody I've ever seen except Mark Richt. So kudos to Saban for calling out Jimbo, even though he's been attacked by the national media unfairly.
John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul, and hats off to your team. It was an amazing production yesterday.
Yesterday was really an interesting day because it's not the kind of show you give much thought to since it happens on the fly. And you know, our team with Jamari and Danny and the whole backroom bunch. We knew there would be a lot of people watching. I mean, that was I don't know. I would guess the program yesterday from a radio and television standpoint probably was as highly ranked a show as we probably ever had. And what we wanted to do, John, was just try to be as balanced, as fair as we could with guests, and make sure everybody heard what was said, and then let it go.
I'll tell you, Thamel, McFarland, Chris Fowler in this backyard, and even John up in an airplane, you guys put it all together.
Yeah, I was most impressed with Talty from the plane. That was, I have a hard time talking to my wife on a plane. I don't know about you, but let alone doing a nationally televised show.
Oh, he had the bar open, we know. But I thought from a PR point of view, Nick easily won the debate. I mean, his words were measured. If he had changed just a few words, nobody seemed to argue with what he was saying. It's whether he should have said. And then Jimbo, you know, his hair was on fire. He went in attack mode, made it personal, littered with, you know, insults, threats, innuendos, and slander. And then he lost all credibility, saying he didn't know anything about the collectives. Hello. They report NIL deals to the university. So I think Jimbo lost it big time. In fact, I thought he gave a bad look for snake oil salesman. But
hey, by the way, though, his athletic director was right there with him, was he not?
Yeah, he's another salesman. But I wanted to get input on something.
Why don't we take a short break? We have a lot to do. Phone number is 855-242-7285. The guests will start popping in here very quickly. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, welcome back. One of the stories about yesterday we really didn't get a chance to talk much about was the Deion Sanders card. It didn't get the national attention that Jimbo, because Deion had very little to say. But we are about to be joined by someone we visited with in the past, Sean Jacques Taylor, the former Dallas Morning News columnist and ESPN columnist, who's currently the president of JJT Media Group. He had an opportunity to talk yesterday with Deion. And Jean-Jacques, it's always great to have you on the program. We haven't talked in a while. Good afternoon, and how are you, first of all?
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm doing great.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. let's talk about your conversation with Deion, because he took a different approach than Jimbo. Give us the backstory on how he reacted to Saban calling his program out in the recruitment of its top player last year.
Well, I would say after talking to him for an hour or so yesterday that, one, he was disappointed. Two, he was a little bit upset. And then three, he kind of understood what Nick was doing. And so he was disappointed because, like, why are you talking about me? I don't have anything to do with Alabama, A&M, or any of that stuff. Two, he was upset because, yeah, Travis Hunter signed with Jackson State, but as he would tell you, there's no way in the world he got anywhere close to $1 million, and they didn't give him anything to come to Jackson State. And then finally, I think he said, the bottom line was, in his mind, Nick wasn't even talking about me or talking about Jimbo per se. He was trying to tell his Alabama boosters and donors and givers that y'all better ante up, because A&M is coming, Texas is coming. They're paying guys. Even little old Jackson State is paying guys. And if you want to continue to play with the big boys, then y'all need to pony up. And that was kind of his take on it. But, you know, he's very sensitive about people thinking that they paid players to come to Jackson State. Even though, and maybe you can tell me this, Frank, Paul, why is Jimbo so mad? There's nothing wrong. I mean, you get to pay players right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And on the bigger picture here, and I'm glad to see that Deion moved on, because yesterday had enough drama, and nobody can command the stage quite like Coach Prime, as you well know.
Right.
So let me ask you about Jimbo, since you opened that door. I mean, you tell me. You've covered a lot of college and especially the NFL. I've never heard a coach go down that road, or at least quite like he did. Peel the onion back for us.
Yeah, man, I just don't understand why he's so upset. I mean, if you look at his track record, obviously he's a terrific coach, but he hadn't been signing very many five-star players. I think maybe five or six over the previous 4 years. And then the NIL shows up and you sign seven. Yeah, it's pretty clear you paid them. But again, those are the rules these days. There's nothing wrong with it. Travis Hunter does have a couple of NIL deals at Jackson State. He's got two that are worth, according to a source I talked to yesterday, less than $250,000. And he's got a couple deals pending that should be finalized in the next month, which, you know, may add. One of those I know is a product deal, not a paid deal. So maybe he adds another $100,000 or $75,000 or whatever. But whatever he's getting, he's earned it. But more importantly, it's not anywhere close to $1 million. And I think that was the whole key. If you look at HBCUs in general, none of those schools got $1 million to be given to an athlete, man. If they had that kind of access, they'd be putting it into their programs, you know, in terms of facilities, whether it's weight room or film room or training room or all that kind of stuff.
Sean Jack, I'm curious, in knowing Deion and so many other people inside this bubble, when coaches talk about this, it seems like they're talking, not Deion, but a lot of the other coaches, out of both sides of their mouth. They always talk about how, and Saban loves to use the word name, image, and likeness, as if NIL is a dirty word for him. But, you know, they say they're for the player making money, but it's hard to believe that, quite frankly. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's all about control. You know, how many, and let's just keep it real, man, how many times have you heard a coach, or you've heard a story, is a better way to say it. How many times have you heard a story about a coach telling a player, hey, I'll send your butt back to the ghetto. I'll send you back home. I'll do this to you. I'll do that to you. And players don't have any recourse. Well, if you're making money, that threat, okay, fine. I'll see you later. You know, it doesn't carry exactly the same weight. And so I think it's about coaches losing control and coaches losing power and trying to figure out how to work in the new reality that they're in. And, you know, nobody who has power like
and let me go back to Deion before we lose sight of this. He is a man who likes the stage. He's flamboyant. Nobody's ever been quite like him as a player. Why do you think he said what he did initially in that tweet, and I realize it was late at night, and then by the time you visited with him, he seemed much calmer, but he also said he didn't take Nick Saban's call. At least I think I understood your story to say that.
Yeah. You're talking about it in terms, well, you know, Deion is a couple things. I mean, you know, most people, it's hard to get. I mean, he was a very flamboyant player, played with a lot of style, a lot of swag and all that. He's probably the complete opposite as a coach. Like, he is as old school a coach as you could possibly get. You know, he kicks players out of meetings for having earrings on. 15 minutes early is on time. You got to wear the same colored socks and the same length socks to practice in games, otherwise you get kicked out. I mean, he's really old school when it comes to coaching. But, you know, his whole thing with Saban was, and he's pretty much like this, which is, if you said something publicly about my program or about me and you took a shot at me, don't call me privately to apologize or clarify. Make your apology public or make your clarification public, just like you made your initial comment, so that it'll get the same attention. Because if you call me privately, it's not going to get the same attention as if you said it publicly. And so I think that was his whole deal. Like, yeah, okay, it's cool that you call and maybe you want to clear it up or whatever, but, you know, reach out to me publicly the same way you criticize me publicly.
This might just be a future trivia question, but I wonder when the last time in Nick Saban's career he called two people in one day and neither one called him back.
Yeah, man. Doesn't happen often.
And, no, it doesn't. Well, it's such a great
offer.
And now, well, listen, it's great to have you back. I know you're doing a lot of great things with your company, and we hope to stay in touch.
All right, man. Anytime. I appreciate it.
You got it. You're a great writer and now entrepreneur, Jean-Jacques Taylor, joining us. We'll continue with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back here on a Friday afternoon. And on the day after some of the most publicized comments of Nick Saban's career, many journalists attempted to get clarification, but only one, as far as I know, sat down with Nick Saban, and that is our next guest. He is Chris Lowe, who has covered the SEC for many, many years. And Chris, thank you very, very much for being here. I feel like I've asked you this in the past about have we ever seen anything quite like whatever the subject was, but I ask you again, and I'm very eager and curious about your answer. Good afternoon.
Paul, it's great to be with you, man, as always.
Yesterday had to be a surreal day for you. You had a previously planned meeting, an interview with Coach Saban. So take us through as much as you can. Tell us about your visit to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, we've set this up 3-4 weeks ago, so it wasn't like I hustled over to Tuscaloosa after everything went down the previous night in Birmingham, but I actually met with Coach Saban early that morning before Jimbo's press conference briefly, and then we were scheduled to sit down at noon, which we did, and then talked a little bit again after that. I think it was a little bit sort of different stages. He understood, and it was very clear to me that he said, you know, he knew when he left Birmingham he should never single any school or any coach out, that he didn't make a lot of mistakes, but that was a mistake on his part. But then, you know, after Jimbo's sort of scorched earth policy and how personal he got with Nick, you could tell he pierced his lips a couple of times when I asked him about it. He wasn't going to go down that road. But the thing, Paul, he just over and over again when I talked to him, he's not backing down on the fact that he just thinks the system as it is now with the way NIL is being used is broken. And it's bad for football, it's bad for sports, it's bad for coaches. He hates the idea that players can be brought in from high school potentially making hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars, and they're going to get on campus making more than everybody on campus on the coaching staff and maybe the head coach. And as another head coach told me today, he said, so you bring in a edge pass rusher for $1.5 million, and he's making more than his defensive ends coach, and they get into a fight or an argument on the practice field, guess who's going to win? And he won't be the assistant coach. And I think that's the part of this whole dynamic that he hates the most. He hates the system. He hates the way it's sort of trending right now. And as we know, Nick never really said anything unless there's a reason to say it. I think he's sounding the alarm bell, trying to turn the heat up on the powers that be in college football and sports, whomever. let's try to fix this however we can and gain some type of structure.
Let's talk about what he's looking for. In a perfect world, what would do you think Nick Saban would like to see with this current situation?
Well, I think he'd like to see what Alabama's going to do, and that's going to set up a collective or a deal for guys that are, it's the same across the board. I think Alabama's plan is $20,000 to $25,000 a year for every scholarship player. And then when you get on campus and you're Will Anderson or you're Trevor Lawrence or you're Bryce Young, in his words, you earn it, and you're a great player and everybody wants a piece of you, they want you to endorse, you know, their product, or whether it's Dr. Pepper or all those dealerships there in town, and in his words, you know, hey, you earn it, every bit of it. And I think that's what he'd like to see happen. Now, how that's going to happen, you know, is that a fight that, you know, you can win in court with sort of the toothpaste already out of the tube? I don't know. He believes and has believed for a long time, Paul, much like Dabo Sweeney told me last month, that all we're doing is sort of inch by inch, day by day, headed towards some type of break where college football is really no longer under the umbrella of the NCAA. They have their own rules, their own commissioner, and when you do that, you know, is it a way to have some kind of quasi salary cap? I don't know, but I know this: he's not in any way, shape, or form wrapping his hands out or bidding for players coming out of high school. I think that's the thing he said over and over again. But I'll say this, because I know the next question you and everybody else has, is this something that will drive him out of the sport? He's been a guy that's probably evolved and adapted, even though he's 70, going on 71, as well as anybody in college football. Nobody's as competitive as him. Nobody likes to win as much as he does. He's not going to tuck his tail and run. He'll figure out how to do this, how to make it work. He did the same thing with spread up tempo offenses. Still doesn't like it, by the way. Did the same thing with the transfer portal. Still doesn't like it, but boy, he's used it effectively. I wouldn't bet against him that if the rules don't change or there's not some type of structure, that he'll find a way to make this work at his advantage too.
Chris, you've been consistent, steadfast on Saban not being anywhere nearer the end than maybe the last time we talked or the time before that. This has been going on now 4 or 5 years, but it's not even his age anymore that I wonder is the issue. It's the fact that, you know, he doesn't have the time that Jimbo Fisher and Kirby Smart have to make the adjustments, because the clock does begin to tick at some point. I know the fans don't want to think that. So do you think that's where maybe some of the anxiety comes, because where if he misses a play or if he misses a cycle where they don't dominate like they have done, then that makes it more difficult for him in the time that he has left?
I think that could be part of it. I mean, he's been a guy that's always – I mean, he's been able to use the rules or whatever the landscape is to his advantage, and has always been so forward-thinking that he's able to sort of to get it to work. So, yeah, I think so. I think the other thing, too, Paul, is he understands that he's not going to coach forever. Now, he's never going to come out and say it. You know, as he told me yesterday, he said – for 10 years, they've been saying I'm going to retire, so they're going to try to use that against me recruiting. So he's certainly not going to say that right now. But I think he's just sort of waiting to see how this all shakes out and the way, if there is a way to sort of gain some type of structure around it, and then he'll go from there. He's not one to tuck his tail and run from challenges, from new things. And he's old school, and yes, he's stubborn. He's one of those guys that believes in doing certain things, core values in his mind the same way all the time. But he's not one of these guys who's outdated. He's not a dinosaur. He will change. And again, I'll repeat what I told you earlier. He will speak out because he doesn't care what you think or what I think or what anybody else thinks. If he thinks something's wrong in the sport or something that is not going the way he thinks it should or what's best for the sport. But that doesn't mean he's not willing to change and adapt, and I think you'll see him do that if that's what is required.
Talking to Chris Lowe of ESPN, who talked with Saban yesterday in Tuscaloosa. Chris, you know Nick Saban very well. You also know Jimbo Fisher very well. And Can you explain, as best you can, why he said some of the things about Nick Saban that he did?
No, and I think we had this conversation earlier. I went back through my mind 36 years doing this, trying to think if I could remember another instance where, in a public forum, one coach had personally gone after another coach the way Jimbo did Nick, and I can't think of one. I remember Mike Zimmer when Petrino left the Falcons to go to Arkansas, got after Petrino pretty good. But two rival coaches who worked together, like Nick and Jimbo did, you remember they both talked about their noontime basketball games where they played basketball together. You know, Nick would say that Jimbo was the point guard and he was a shooting guard. So I knew Jimbo was upset. And you know what? I get it. I would have been upset too if I were Jimbo, because he's looks at it like he's sticking up for his team, his players, his staff. The NIL is what it is right now. I mean, there are no rules, and why not take advantage of it if you can do that? I think what he's saying is, listen, we're doing what we need to do right now to get our program to a certain level. My staff's working their butts off. Everybody here at the athletic department, football program's working their butts off. Don't tell us that we're quote-unquote buying players. Now, Nick has come back and said, what I should have said was buying players for the guys at NIL. And I think, again, Jimbo took that personally, and that's what made him so mad. This is not the first time he's heard something like this, you know, earlier with the Kiffin Saban stuff. So he just, Jimbo is an emotional guy. He's a fiery guy. When something he feels like is not right or something he feels like is unfair, he's not going to hold back. I think that's what you saw. I'll say this. You could sell tickets for that meeting in Destin, the spring meetings here in a couple of weeks, when all those coaches go in that same room.
What do you think is going to happen?
I'd say the commissioner probably will have one. You know how in the big boxing matches before the match, the referee sort of goes in and gives both the managers the rules. I'd say that Greg Sankey will probably do some semblance of that with both men and both coaches, maybe all coaches, before they go in there. I still remember old friend Mike Slive talking when we were down in Destin. I think you were standing right there, and he said, I'm not the biggest guy. I'm not the strongest guy. He said, and I think this was during the whole maybe Kiffin, Urban Meyer, Spurrier back and forth. He said, but I had some choice words, and he looked at me, and he looked at you, and he said, I even swore. So I don't know if Greg Sankey's going to swear, but I'd say he probably talked pretty candidly with both and say, listen, we're just not going to go down that road.
Chris Lowe joining us. Thanks so much, Chris. We really appreciate it. We will get more reaction to what Chris heard from Nick Saban from all of you when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, and let's get to the calls. And Daryl is up next. Hey, Daryl.
Come on, Paul.
We are doing great. Thank you.
So Nick and Jimbo are feuding, huh? I mean, look here. Of course Jimbo paid them players. That's a no-brainer, okay? We all know that. I mean, what's changed? What? It ain't like A&M has made the college football playoff or anything like that. So what has changed? What has changed is the NIL. That's what's changed, okay? So, of course, he's playing those players. But I tell you what, with that, I got some news for Jimbo, okay? With that comes higher expectations. I mean, finishing second in the West, they're going to cut it. You know what I mean?
But you know what, on that front, that was going to happen anyway. I mean, this year there may be a little wiggle room, but after this year, Jimbo's on the clock. I mean, he better win or the heat will grow blazing hot.
With all the money they're paying him, absolutely. You know what?
Sure. Paying him. They're putting the money that when alumni put in money to buy players, They want results.
Absolutely. And finishing second in the West and missing the college football playoff is not going to cut it. But on the flip side, I mean, come on. I got one. Saban, look here. I remember a player, a recruit not too long ago, okay? He was going to sign. He was so committed to Auburn. He got the Auburn tattooed on his entire back. And on signing day, he signed with Alabama. Now, I wonder why he signed with Alabama. I mean, cha-ching, no doubt about it, no doubt about it. But, Nick, we're going to get to find out what kind of football coach Nick Saban is doing now, Paul, because Nick wants that one more championship, okay? That will put him in front of Bear. That will put him at the top. I mean, no doubt about that. But now this NIL, he ain't going to be able to just go out there and just get all the best players like he has in the past. Now you're going to find out what kind of football coach he is. Can he take a backup quarterback and win a national championship? Can he take a three-star recruit by the name of Jordan Davis and turn him into a first-round draft pick? We're going to find out, you know, what kind of coaches really both of them are. But Paul, speaking of my beloved Kirby Smart, I think I figured out – let me say this first. What about Lane Kiffin, Paul? I mean, wasn't Lane being the one blamed for all this at the beginning? Does somebody owe him an apology now?
Yeah, I mean, Lane's a bit player in all this.
Well, Lane's a mile higher in college football. We already know that, right? Somebody labeled him that a long time ago. I mean, Lane doesn't help himself any with how he gets out there on social media. But still, if I recall, I think he was the one being blamed.
Well, he's the one that made the – he took the first crack. Anyway, he talked about the luxury tax. And don't forget, Jimbo went ballistic then, and I'm pretty sure Jimbo was talked to by the brass after that.
I figured out, Paul, why Florida's hating on Kirby so much. If you recall, not too long ago, didn't they lose like by 1 point Alabama in the SEC title game?
Who's that?
Isn't that
Florida?
Correct?
Yeah, it was a couple of points.
Okay, a couple of points. And they got their drink in that Mullinade, Paul. They thought that. I mean, if you had not known any better, if you had not known Alabama won the game, you would have actually thought Florida won the game with the way the Gator fans were acting. And since then, what's happened? Mullin's been fired. Georgia's won a national championship. That's why they're hating on Kirby Smart. I mean, that's exactly why. They thought they were back in the top tier. They're not, okay? They'll be lucky to finish third this year in the SEC East. They're going to finish behind Georgia, behind Tennessee, I believe. And you know what? It is what it is. I mean, you know.
Andre, thanks. Andre is next. Thanks for the call, Daryl. Appreciate it. Andre.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call, Coach. What's wrong? These Bama fans got their feelings hurt, Coach.
A little bit.
Well, listen, I'm an SEC man. I'm an LSU fan. I like Coach Saban. You know, he brought a national championship to Baton Rouge. But in this conference, we call the SEC, there's only one team in this conference that might be clean, and that's Vanderbilt. Recruiting is a dirty business.
You bet.
Because recruiting is about talent. And is it hell?
Andre, you still there?
It ain't Nick Saban. It's the talent. But these folks think it's Nick Saban. Nick Saban is human just like the rest of us. He make mistakes just like the rest of us. And that's just how it is. But this, listen, now Brian Kelly came in here in a white tuxedo from South Bend, Indiana. I guarantee you he muddy and dirty down in Baton Rouge. This is about talent, Coach. But what do you think about the whole situation, Coach?
Well, I think you're right. To me, I think we all give these guys way too much credit. Nick Saban didn't go into that room with that intent the other night. He was explaining it. And he's talked to a lot of people, Andre.
Right.
And he just he was inarticulate with a couple of words, and he got bombed as a result. Jimbo said, you know what, I'm not letting this go. And by the way, if you're the head coach at a school and a coach calls you a bunch of cheaters, you better believe you're going to respond. And I'm glad he responded. Now, was it correct? Did he go scorched earth? Of course. But had he issued some namby-pamby statement, I think his fan base would have deserted him.
They'd have turned on him. But, Coach, this is about talent and recruiting.
Sure.
And all these fans that think the NIL is going to change, that horse is out the barn. It ain't going back.
No.
These players finally realize it's not the coaches that's got the power now. It's the players, the
You're
foot
right.
soldiers.
You're 100%
correct.
Let's
take my call, Coach Feinbaum.
Thank you very much. Great call. Let's continue here and cheerleader is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, cheerleader.
Hey there, man. I tell you what, there's really been some talk, but I want to go back several weeks ago when somebody on the air, I don't know who it was, said that Kirby Smart was a better coach than Nick Saban, and I just about threw up. Do you remember that call?
No.
And given all the this and the that, well, it did. It was on your show. And then, you know, why? So Nick Saban called two coaches and nobody called him back. Well, they wouldn't know what to say to him. That's why they didn't call him back.
Well, I think Jimbo would have known what to say. I think you heard what Jimbo would have said. That would have been a throwdown.
He's a hothead.
Hey, hey, cheerleader.
Wait,
if I called you a cheater, if I said what you do for a living, you're a liar and a cheat. Would you have liked that? I don't think you would have.
I would not.